Welcome to Intimate Verses Church. We are full of grace, chosen from a race, mandated to wear a smiling face. For in our midst the Holy Ghost stays. We are blessed and not cursed, lifted and not jilted. We are vessels of gold, intimately filled with the Holy Ghost. We are filled by God's anointing, charged to possess the land, ordained for the job. For such is the experience at Intimate Verses Church. John Reverend David Akanwa as he brings to you God's Word.
You are Yahweh. Alfa, Omega. You are Yahweh, Alpha, Omega.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are grateful that you are in our midst. We are grateful. Thank you. We commend everything to you. We give way so that you will take preeminent control. Precious Holy Spirit, we yield to you. I yield my faculties, my mind, my mouth, my heart, my body to you. Speak to your people. Flow through this vessel of mine as I yield to you, Lord Almighty. We look up to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We see you only, Jesus. You are our all in all. Everybody, I lift up your hands and pray in the Spirit for 30 seconds if you can pray in tongues. Kila brado shaka la 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 ba. Lita shaka ta shila bara la la ba ya la da. Lindo kora hali ya rabash. Shall we start with the Bible reading? The book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 from verse 9 to 12. 1 Samuel chapter 1 from verse 10 to 12. And we are all going to rise up as we read. We are going to read together. So everybody settle down. We are going to read together. Rise up. That's what I mean. Rise on your feet. Put your Bibles in your hand as we read. Just three verses. Chapter 10, verse 10 to 12. I read. Can we read together? Are we ready? Do you have it? Are you open there? Have you opened there? Okay. Are we ready to read? Okay. 1, 2, ready, go. And she was bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Verse 11. And she vowed a vow. I want you to take note of that. Pause. Let's read it again. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no wrestle come upon his head. Verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Praise the Lord. Shall we thank God for the reading? Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a clap of him for the reading of his word? Let's have a seat. Okay, in the book of Proverbs, chapter, today I'm going to be teaching on God's blessings in times, seasons, and locations. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 28, I stumbled across this scripture many years ago, and the scripture almost confused me, because I could not apply this scripture to my personal experience as a then, and I almost got confused about the nature of God. You know, our Christianity is a relationship, and our Christianity is our walk with a person. God is not a force. God is not an inanimate thing. God is a person. That's why we talk about intimacy with him. So God feels, God hears, God God talks. God is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. So I was taught very early that Christianity is not just obedience to a set of rules. Christianity is much more than that. Christianity is a relationship with a person. So in my inquisitive mind, I really wanted to know the nature of this person, because if my life is going to be dependent on God, if whatever I'm going to become in life, especially when I discovered God had called me to be a preacher, and not only that, when I got born again and I started working with God, and I was opportune to start attending a church where the Bible is properly taught, not where they are shouting over people's head and all manner of things, all manner of funny things. No, my church, the church I attended in my city, was the first Pentecostal church in my city to seat 400 people. And we had a wonderful Bible teacher who has gone to be with the Lord, my very first pastor, who has gone to be with the Lord, a man of God. And he taught us well. And he taught us that God is a person, and we have to understand the nature of the person. So if I'm going to have an effective relationship with a person, I must try to understand the nature of the person. Because if my life is going to be dependent on that person, especially, I must know the nature. How does this person operate? Who is this person? What makes this person sad? And I was taught that the Bible, as we know it, is a revelation of the nature of God. The revelation of the nature and the person of God. So, I stumbled across this, and this almost confused me. It says, say not to thy neighbor, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28. Go and come back. Come again. Tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. David, my son, come. Let me share this. Now, this is David. God is the one telling us this. It's an instruction. David comes to me and is asking me for this mic. And he's asking me. And God said I should not tell him to go and come back tomorrow when I have it. God said it's not right. So what God said is that the moment he starts asking, that I should give it to him. So why would I delay him when it is in the power of my hand to do it? Do you understand that scripture now? How many of you are following me? So if it is in my power to give him now, why do I tell him to come back tomorrow? So it got me confused. It got me very, very confused, because yes, I have been taught that God owns everything. I have been taught that the cattle on a thousand hills, they are God. They belong to God. I have been taught that God owns prosperity. God owns the gold and the silver. Haggai 2. I was a voracious reader of the scripture when I became born again. I was so hungry that I started reading the Bible. I read my father's Bible page to page. I wasn't even a pastor. So I saw the wonderful things God wrote. And here it confused me. So if I hold, I have this mic, why do I frustrate him and I tell him to go and come back tomorrow when it is in the power of my hand to give it to him? So God is my father and God has everything. So why would he tell me to go and come back tomorrow when he can bless me with 10 million today? So why does he need to delay me? I didn't know. It got me confused. I had to search other scriptures for some time. Because God by this scripture says it's not good. So it's wickedness. You're hungry and I have a pot of rice. And you come to me, I'm hungry. And I tell you to go and come back tomorrow. So why would I have to frustrate you for 24 hours before I bless you? Why would I have to make you a victim of mockery, harassment? Why would I have to make you an object of shame for years before I bless you? Why would I have to make you an object of insult before I bless you? Go back. It got me confused until God began to show me other scriptures. Why it is like at times he waits for a season and a time for you to receive and step into the blessings. And why is it that God seemingly delays? Because God does not delay.
I came to understand from the scripture that there are, when God deals with the concept of time, the concept of time for God, time simply means a period cut out for eternity for you to exist on earth. So God created eternity, and from eternity he cut out a period, and he put that period, the standard unit of that period, or the SI unit of that period, happens to be seconds. So if somebody is going to live 70 years, the standard unit of years is in seconds, because the seconds will make the minutes will make the hours will make the days will make the weeks will make the months, and the months will make the years. So what God now began to show me is that he does things in times and seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 and 2. I say, okay, God, if you do things in times and seasons, it means that we don't have our destiny. If I'm going to go with Ecclesiastes chapter 3 from verse 1 and 2, and you read through the whole of Ecclesiastes, follow as I build up. I want to share a story with you, and something that will help you for the rest of your life, that will make you relax as you work hard. Is somebody listening to me? That will make you not to fidget, that will make you not to be envious of other people, because one of the things that have destroyed a lot of people is envy, jealousy. I have been an object of jealousy from childhood, and I know what it is. And at times I wonder why people do that, because I even think I'm very slow. I used to think that things don't come easily for me. I have to pray, I have to wait, but I don't know why. So I don't want you to be the one envying others. I want you to be the one blessed. Are you listening to me? I want you to be the one to be the object of envy. So now we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 from verse 1. I'm still dealing with this. If God says that when I ask him for something, in other words, if I ask God for 10 million, he has more than that. God has money to infinity. So if I ask God to give me 10 million, and God now just decides to pass me through unnecessary rigors, if it's in his hands, why not give it to me? Then it took me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And he said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. Verse 2. I'm just going to read verse 2 alone. I'm not going to read the entire. He said, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is what? Planted. So he said, for every season, for everything under the sun, there is a time, there is a season, there is a purpose. And God said, talked about time. And I said to God, if there is time for everything, then why do I have to kill myself? I would just have to just live my life. If it is time for you to bless me, you bless me. If it is time for you to prosper me, you prosper me. Because your plan is to bless your children. So why is it I have seen Christians that have stayed 20 years and they are not blessed? Does it mean that they don't have time for their blessing? And I also almost got confused in Psalm 102, where he began to say that the time to favor Zion has come. The set time has come. So I said, God, the people that are struggling, the people that are hungry, it doesn't mean that they don't have a set time. Do you like some people more than the others? And God began to speak to me that when he deals with time, a period he cut in eternity for me to spend here, 80, 90, 100, when he's dealing with time, there are two levels. He said the first level, there are certain times that are set, you can't change, and there are certain times you determine. You understand? So there are times that are under your control. He said in Psalm 102, verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the set time to favor her, the time to favor Zion has come, the set time has come. I said, Father, how can somebody be a Christian for 30 years? How can somebody be a Christian for 5 years? How can somebody be a Christian student, and the person is failing exams, no favor, can't pay school fees? Why? And God said that there is the first way I operate with time. There are certain things that I have assets. They are set. They are like things I have etched in the wall. There is nothing you're going to do about it. And I put the times and the seasons for such blessings. And there's nothing you can. All you need to do is to discover when I move in that direction, you follow me. Are you listening to me? So what you do for God's set time is to discover when it is God's time and you follow for certain things. Then he also told me, there are other things you determine the time. And he gave me two examples. He said, the first example, he said, son, go to my dealing with Abraham. I told Abraham that I'm going to put your people in captivity for 400 years. After the iniquity of the Amorites have been fulfilled, have come to fullness, then I will release them and I will use them and judge the Amorites. So no matter what anybody says, Israel will be in bondage for 400 years. Is somebody listening to me? And he also took me to Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah, when Nebuchadnezzar was coming to destroy Israel, Jerusalem, and destroyed the temple, destroyed everything, God spoke to Jeremiah and told Jeremiah, this captivity will last for 70 years. And that was why when Daniel was praying, he said he was reading the book of Jeremiah and he discovered that one. You discover it. You have to discover it. If you don't discover the time of God, you will be behind God. You will be behind God. And it is not good not to be in sync with God. I have found that a lot of people failed because they didn't know what to do at the right time. People who didn't discover who they are supposed to marry at the right time missed it. People who didn't discover the business to invest in at the right time, they missed it. People who didn't discover the Kairos moment of their lives. It is that set time that God wants you to launch into something and they missed it, they remain poor. So, you see, God said to me, I appointed 70 years. So, Daniel started reading Jeremiah and he discovered that the time for that captivity was 70, and 70 years was over. The children of Israel, after 400 years, began to cry upon God. God raised Moses. So he said, for the blessings in your life that has set times and seasons, you discover through prayer and through study. You have to discover what God is doing in this season of your life. You have to discover how God, this is where relationship with God is very important. Christianity is not a club. Oh, it's not just a club. It's not, oh, let's go to church. Christianity is so personal. If you want God's best, you have to put your ears to the heart of God. If you really want to prosper financially, you must know when God is moving in a direction. You must know that. Many years ago, one day I knelt down and I was asking God, when am I even going to have 1 million? Before I became a Christian, before we started this church, I stayed some time in the UK, so bold. From the moment I came back from London and we started, money ran dry. For years, I never had 1 million. It may shock you. Years. The time some people were counting million, I didn't. They thought I had. So at the time, I got very worried. I said, God, when will I have 1 million? God said, when that time comes, I will tell you. But be sensitive. Now, look at what I started doing within that time. Now, what other people use money to do? I started raising people to do it. We needed to print handbills. We needed to print posters. Because other people will use 600,000 and print poster, 1 million and print handbill. So what I did, I picked one of my sons. I told him to go and learn how to do graphics. Are you listening to me? Because what money cannot get, manpower can get. So I didn't know that what God was using that delay in giving me 1 million to do was for me to learn how to tolerate people and raise them. Because naturally, I don't have time. I'm too fast. I'm a very fast person. I'm very naturally choleric. God wanted to slow me down to teach people. So at the time, we needed to start editing our videos. And I had to go to Saverbed. Saverbed was in Accra that time before they packed. And I met their editor. I asked him, please, how much, the kind of money he called us at that time, hundreds of thousands. I hadn't seen it in ministry. I told him, so how much am I going to give you so that you can train one of my boys so I don't keep paying you this? He called another huge sum. So I brought Pastor Nsube, our pastor in Asaba. I said, Nsube, come. Your brain is not blocked. You're a civil engineering student. Why not get into the internet and learn how to do video editing? So I will sit on the table with him. We will work on the... I didn't know that while God was setting time for million to come in, he wanted me to develop men. The delay is not really delay. There is something God is raising in you as he's delaying you. I didn't know. I didn't know that thing I felt was delay. So Pastor Sube stayed and began to crack it until he started editing our videos. When we do healing meetings, we take videos to ABS, we take videos to NTA. You saw it was internally done. We started doing voiceover. I started buying machines. Every area. So we started developing a choir because I couldn't invite. It was later I started inviting Choma Jesus. I invited Choma Victoria Renze. Victoria Renze came here some years back. And I started inviting different kinds of musicians. But initially, I had to sit down because there was no money. So when the God now asked me a question, the day I will give you 1 million, what will you do? I said, God, any day, 1 million in. But who will you give me? There was a time somebody gave me 900 and something thousand. 950. I said, God, where will I get 50,000? So it will be 1 million in bulk. And I said to God, the day you give me 1 million, I will build a church for you. The year I get 1 million, I will buy land. And God knew it was from my heart. I said, God, the day I will wait until my change comes. I am doing my best. I am no longer going to murmur. I am no longer going to look at people who are. So in those days, people thought, older people say, that guy. So one day, one man of God visited me. I said, he's telling me how there is no money in this town. Somebody gave him this million. Somebody said, man of God, where do you get money to do all these things? Hey, I looked at the guy. I said, this guy doesn't know he has more money than me. So I told him, can we change places? He said, what do you mean? I said, man of God, you are calling millions. You have more money than me. He said, it's not true. I said to him, you see all these things we are doing. So we do posters. And our posters used to get to Onitsha, Nibo, and you know how we're doing it? It was direct label. We get the paper ourselves. I have never paid any printer. I had to wait. I said, the first guy I sent to learn how to do printing, I will sit down with him and we will be designing. You were here. Then I will move from him to the editor. I will move from the video editor. I will go to the choir. I used to sit down during choir rehearsal. I will listen to everybody. I didn't know that God was teaching me how to multitask. I didn't know that God was teaching me on how to be patient with people. Because if I could pay for everything, I can't raise nobody. When I started getting millions, the first thing I did was to buy a land and build. And we're building stress-free. I want to announce to you, we're going to send snap pictures this week so that you can see where the project has gotten to. I want to announce to you, the project has gotten to the final digging within 1 week. Give the Lord a clap offering. So, when God... It was at that time God began to speak to me. You have to discover, be patient with God. Like some of you now, you think you're ready to marry. I'm dealing with the first time, which is the one God set. There is time God set. There is nothing you can do about it. You have to wait. You have to, in patience, you gain experience. Don't try to be too fast. That one, you can't change it. You think, you will see somebody who are more beautiful and getting married before you. But there is a certain, there is something God wants to do. There's a season. I'm not saying, my mother is alive, my mother-in-law is alive. You don't know whether the man that is going to marry you has a very bad mother. So God wants the mother to die first before he proposes. You understand me? Some girl, shout hallelujah. Don't pray for your mother-in-law to die, because one day you're going to be a mother-in-law. Praise the Lord. And if your daughter-in-law prays for you to die, you won't be happy. So you don't even know whether the job God wants to give to you, the man who is occupying the job will retire in 5 years. And God says, wait. Because God is a master planner. God is a master planner. You don't know. You have sought for admission 2018, 2019, you didn't get 2020. And God said, I'm going to give you admission in 2021. Because that young bobo that will marry you will be in final year by then. So as soon as you get admission, he will graduate, get job, sponsor you through. So as you're dropping pen, you're getting married. There's a plan for your life. Are you listening to me? So there are set times and seasons. Set times and seasons. So we read Samuel. And I'm going to use... then the second time is the one you determine. At times you are the one delaying it. We delay it. I'm going to show you how we delay it. We delay it through disobedience. We delay it through rebellion. And God has to... Let me now tell you about that. Galatians chapter 4 verse 1. The one we delay. Galatians. Now I say that the heir... Who is an heir? Okay. Chibuna, my son, come. Okay, I'm a father. This iPad. This is a beautiful Samsung iPad. Samsung pad. And Chibuna is my son. And look at what scripture says here. Now, I say, the heir, as long as he is a child, deferred nothing from a servant. So, though he be the Lord of all, this is the one that makes me cry. This is the one I see in churches more. This is the one I see in churches. People jump from one church to the other instead of staying in one place to mature. They get offended, they jump. They get angry, they jump. Who told you that nobody will offend you? So now God says, Chibuna is my son, and whatever I own is Chibuna's own. So he is called an heir. But as long as he refuses to grow, this belongs to him. But I will still keep it. Okay? I will keep it. Because he cannot handle this. So having access to this, I will be watching him. There are certain parameters I've set. Everybody watch. I say I want to discuss with you people today. After today, you will know what to do while you wait on God. Now listen. What I will do is, I have set certain parameters to see if he's mature. I will test him with certain things. And the way he treats those things will determine whether I will give him this precious pad. Maybe I will give him a Nokia 3310. How careless, if he handles it carelessly, if he does not handle it very well, I will watch him. I can give him a lower phone, you know, be giving him something before I can give him the main inheritance. Now look at what scripture said in verse 2. Can we follow verse 2? Okay, verse 2 now said, but he's under tutors, so they will come. So in case the father has grown old and the father is about to die and the boy is still misbehaving, what the father would do is to hand over this thing to tutors and tell them, watch this and govern us. You don't want somebody to govern you, to teach you. Tutors are people who teach you to govern you until the time appointed. What determines the time is his maturity. So if he does not get matured, he's not going to have access to this. So the time is no longer me. It's just that the guy is a Christian, but he has a kind of an affinity to alcohol. He likes drinking. If I give him 1 million, all umpa will finish in the market. The guy is a Christian, but He likes fair girls too much. If I give him 10 million, Jesus Christ, he's going to open register for all the fair girls in UNICEF. And church will lose him. Because God is not going to give you a blessing that will destroy you. He wants your heart first. Before anything, money is nothing to God. Is it no money? He said, oh, money is hard. Money is hard. No. I have seen God's pocket. I have enjoyed God's blessing. It's not as difficult as you think. The problem is how you handle it. Are you listening to me? Okay, so now, he is the one delaying himself. When the Bible said, until the time appointed of the Father. The time appointed of the Father is the moment he comes to maturity. The moment he comes to maturity, look at what the Father will do. The Father will give it to him. What was the mistake of the prodigal son? The Father was watching him to mature, and he was immature. He came straight and collected the inheritance. The moment he collected, he squandered it. Can I ask you a question? While he was under his father, the Bible said as he left his father, he went and paid for hotel and started living a licentious life. But while he was under the covering of his father, he never exhibited those characteristics. At times, there are certain characteristics you don't exhibit as long as you're under tutorship. You run out on your own. I served men for more than 13 years. And all the 5 pastors that I served for more than 30 years, they have come on this altar. No, you are here. Come and bear witness. The moment we move into that place, all of them will come. Has anyone given any negative testimony about me? From the person that ordained me into the ministry 27 years ago, he has come to this altar. The ones all through, what did they say about me? They said I streamlined their church. What I didn't sow, I won't reap. I didn't sow rebellion. He has been here from day one. That is why in this church you see people. I am the most easiest person to work with. Anybody that has a problem with me has a problem. 5 men. There is nobody that broke his church. There is nobody that collected anything. They all came here and gave a testimony about sacred service. I waited till I matured. I served one from 2000 to 2001. As I was leaving, he called me. He said to me, I want you to go to Johannesburg and start a church. That is 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I was 24 years. 24, 25. I told him, sir, I am too young to go to Randburg, Johannesburg to start a church. Sir, please. He looked at me. I said, I don't want wind to carry me away there. Somebody had seen me fit to go for foreign mission 20 years ago when I was just 24, 25. I told him, sir, can you give me more time? He said, okay. Some of you are 24, 25 and you're still playing like children. And tomorrow you say, God, why did you delay me? No, God does not delay any man. You're a girl now, you think you're ready to marry. You're not, oh. This is why you talk to men anyhow. You see a man and you're, hey, brother Hannah, you're putting hands into his pocket. You will catch something you don't want to catch inside that pocket. You don't know how to talk. You don't know how to organize the home. You think because you're 30, you're ready. It is not God that is delaying you. Listen, there is something God wants you to know. There is a point God wants you to come. And if you are a child of destiny, God will wait until you come to that point of maturity. Listen. Let me show you this. I read this scripture in the first service. I want to read it again. Timing. Seasons. God's blessing tied to seasons. Seasons are predetermined. There are many seasons in your life you determine by your yieldedness to God, by your maturity in the things of God, by how you handle things. You're a young man, you're making money, but you will carry 500,000 in your pocket and you're moving everywhere, drinking, eating chicken. You cannot raise children like that. They sent me the school fees of my two daughters who are now in secondary school. One just entered secondary school. It's running into hundreds of thousands. And you can't just play around with opportunities. And she said, "Paul, why am I not married?" He knows you can't handle a human being because you have not been able to handle it yourself. God, I have served you. Why don't you bless me financially? I'm going to share something with you from Proverbs before I finally get to our core scripture, because I want to end with that scripture. Because God is going to wait for you. I think Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse. Yes, chapter 10 verse 9. Now, God is going to wait for you to come to the point where you can handle the blessing. That is why the earlier you begin to yield yourself to teachings, kingdom-based teachings, discipline, God is going to just float something into your hand like that, that will destroy you. No, your soul is more important to God than the material blessing. All through those years of pain, I learned how to be patient with people. I learned how to be patient with people. I also learned how to be patient with my wife. I learned how to be patient with people around me. I learned, before, I used to be so critical about people's weaknesses. But I learned how not to be critical about people, because people, if you train men, if you raise men, men will have to come close to you and they will have to see your own weaknesses. Weaknesses, I mean, is not sin. Weaknesses, they have to see your own weakness. They will attack your own weaknesses. They will, at times, they will weaponize your own weaknesses. So through those years, God had to slow me down. And through those experiences, I became so humble. God had to humble me. God had to remove arrogance and pride. And God had to break me. One day, I sat down, I was single. I said, even if you slay me, or you seem to delay me, I will never let go. It was like everything was delaying. People I felt I was smarter than, they will come overtake. People I felt they were getting things easily. But God said to me, I am going to walk in you, because it is me that walketh in you to will and to do. Whatever time is going to take him to mature you, it will take him. Especially if you're a child of destiny. If you want to build a skyscraper, you will be in the foundation. Somebody who wants to build a batcher does only the plan. All he needs to do, he will do like this, and he will build a batcher. And in a day, he will roof the batcher. But if you want to build a skyscraper, you have to dig down first. So God has to deal with character. God has to deal with patience. It took me time. And that is why I celebrate the men I have raised over the years. I celebrate the men I will still raise. I celebrate them. Oh God, they are doing an exploit. It was through that period. Look, let me tell you, money is good, wealth is good, but let me show you something before I go to First Samuel. He said, whoso removeth stone. No. Is it Ecclesiastes 10, verse 19? Ecclesiastes 10. A feast is made for laughter. Follow it. And wine maketh merry. But money answered all things. Let me tell you what money does. Are you following me now? So money solves all problems. So if money answered all things, that means the moment money comes into your hands, what money will do is to answer your desire. If your desire is a bottle of, to have a second wife, the moment 10 million comes into your hand, you will tell your wife, you see, I can now handle another family. Because money is an amplifier. Money goes in the direction of the desire of the person who handles it. So money on its own is not a problem. So, and that is the reason why God is looking at your longing, the longing of your heart. the desire of your heart. So when money is not coming, you're shouting, I'm thank God for that. Yes, and God is so blessed. God knows that the moment He gives you a car, no woman will rest in Oka. God knows the moment He gives you a husband, Facebook will not rest as if you're the first person to marry. Me and my hobby, we went to rubber store. You know, people change. Like, I was, you were here on Wednesday when I was talking. Somebody was asking me, he said, hey, daddy, hey, there are certain people who attack pastors on Facebook. I've seen some people who attack you on Facebook. Why is it that you don't post all the blessings that God is blessing you on Facebook? I said, come, at my age, you know how old I am? I will buy a car and I will put it on Facebook. I will pack into a house. I will stay on front of there. Tarara. You know, somebody is eating chicken, he will snap it. That means he doesn't eat it always. Don't you see some of these guys who hold their wives? Me and my wife were in love. They are not really in love. They are struggling to love each other. If love is a regular thing, you won't tell them, yeah, can't you see? No. We leave it. We are so rich that we don't need to display it. Give the Lord a clap of praise, somebody. Can you see? I say, you see my age? I'll be doing all, I can't do those words now. If there are things I will do, God will tell in Jamaica, what's that old man doing? Praise the Lord. And me and my wife. Oh, see me. Like when we're entering plane, some people will stay in front of the plane and snap because they don't know the next time they are coming to fly. Us to pepper people. God is not blessing us to show people fire. Oh, this guy bought, if I go to village this year, all those people that used to put dust on me, what I would do to them. The year one of my sons bought the Highlander Jeep for me, that year somebody said, are you coming to the village? I said, for what? I've not gone there for later. You see, don't you know, you cannot come. I said, for what? To come and do what? To come and be tied over the hey. So that the enemies will pepper. You see, that's the problem with Pentecostals. A Catholic priest will wear a cassock, white cassock, 1 yard, 150,000. Solid Italian tassel. He will not talk about it. He will wear a shoe, 150,000. But you see Pentecostals, the pastor will wear suit. He will say, do you know this suit, how much it cost? It cost me 1.5 million. You know how many politicians that buy private jets? You don't know. Buhari's son waited 100 private jets parked in Kano Airport. You people are not talking. But the moment Pentecostal buys private jets, it's everywhere. Don't you know that obscurity is powerful? Don't you know that silence, you grow in obscurity? Don't you know that what you do silently and what you don't expose yourself unnecessarily to attack? The guy has just told you, I want to marry you. We won't rest. Ta-da! I'm taking. Hold on. Let me even tell you, even the ones that are married, they are snatching their husband. Talk more of you. Give the Lord a tell him I will be coming down. Stop using your blessing to belittle other people. Stop using your blessing to show other people pepper. God didn't bless us to pepper people. God didn't bless us to put people down. Even if they have offended you, even if they have talked against you, even if they have maligned you. See, God is not blessing you so that others will cry. It is only Satan he wants to cry. don't hurt other people because of your lifting. Maybe that's the reason why God has not lifted you to that level yet. Because he knows that if he lifts you, you may likely be an oppressor. May you not be an oppressor when you're lifted. May you be a lifter of other men when God lifts you. That amen is weak. Don't display too much. Don't dance around in the public too much. It's only money answers your longing. The moment money comes, it answers your desire. You just want to go and spend on your desire. All those things that are your fantasies. So God, that's why God is delayed. God is keeping it. It's not like he cannot give you. He knows. He knows the moment certain things are releasing you. That's why you must mature. I'm talking that the purpose of wealth is kingdom first. Take care of yourself. Take care of others. That's all. Wealth is not given to you as a tool of oppression. Wealth is not given to you as a tool of self-destruction. You're not competing with anybody that's competing with you is wasting time. You're envying me. It's okay. Go ahead. You're trying to attack me, talk down on me, because by talking down on me, you think you have essence. Fine, if you find essence is that, do that. If that's your essence, your essence is in bringing down other people, it's okay. But you will find out after some time, years ahead, that you have wasted your time. You have wasted your time. Focus on your life. That's why it is that blessings are hanging. Blessings are delayed. You teach, you pray. And he says, oh, I don't know why I'm not married yet. I don't know. Are you prepared? Do you have all the ingredients and tools? Do you have the patience to handle a woman? Do you have the patience to handle a man? You have to learn it. You have to learn it now. Do you have patience to handle money? Some of you, God gives you 20 million. It's only your family members. I'll say to you, my mother, you think it's only your family that is problem. My family needs it. My family needs it. Oh, my family. Hold it. We are born seven of us. When we are young, small, we thought we loved each other. Until everybody started growing and marrying and parochial interests began to come. I dad discovered that life not ahead. Now let's go. I said, some of the delays is not God. Yield to the Holy Ghost. Yield to the Word of God. Yield to the purpose of wealth. And I'm going to go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, 10 to 12. Now, I'm going to use this one to close. I will use, where is Vicky, my daughter Vicky, come? At times, when God allows people to mock you, there is something he's planning for you. Vicky, come. Relax. He knows you have the proclivity to be very proud. So he will use people and humble you first. I've had that experience. You understand? Vicky, my daughter, come. Who else am I going to take? Amaka, come. Both of you are used to standing here. This is Hannah. Vicky is Hannah. Amaka is Penina. They are the two wives of Samuel. You understand? Okay. Elkanah marries two wives. And in the prophetic destiny of Hannah, that is why you don't compare yourself with another person. Hannah has been marked by heaven to give God a prophet from her womb. Not Penina. Now, any natural person will say, if God has marked Hannah to produce prophet Samuel, so God, Hannah should be the one that shouldn't have a problem. No. Most times, those who are marked out for destiny are the ones who go through hell and hell waters. I went through it. Oh God. There were seasons in my life I asked God, why did you create me like this? I just wanted to be a normal good Christian. I don't want to meddle into people's problems. Because the truth about it, in those days, I didn't know how to handle people's problems. I would move in with my heart and get hurt. And pastor has to listen to people's problems. Pastor has a seat with people. But I just wanted a life. You know what it means? You come to church because I can serve well. I can serve people well. I can follow you, serve you, clean your car, fight for my... I used to fight for my pastor in church. And anybody that was my pastor, I can fight you in the street. Be anonymous, do my thing. But I went through what I went through growing up. So Hannah did not know her prophetic destiny was to give God a prophet. The prophet had been predestined to come from her womb. Now Penina is to give children, just normal children. You know, there are children, there is a child that is one is one. There is one child they call, they have come. There are people who come back home. They ask, oh, you have come. There is somebody who will come back and say, oh, they have come. How many of you know in your village there is that rich man? People are listening to see, hear if he will come back this December. It's like you go to one village called Ubo. How many of you know Atese? It's an Ubo. Oh, you know Atese? They find out when people walk at the airport to know when Atese's jet has departed. They will radio people in Enugu, the crowd that will wait for him in Enugu, because he's coming back. Atese is coming back. Because Atese does not throw money, he throws bundle. I saw a wedding ceremony he went to. He wasn't throwing money, he was giving money in tray. He was saying, Ego di eshesh. Boom. So, anytime Atese is returning to Ubo, everybody comes back home. It's like one person. One. You know, there is a child that is one is one. There are children. There is a child. Because of what you are about to become, that's why you're going through what you're going through. And it is like things are delaying. Some of you found solace in Ibo. You found solace in drugs. Some of you found... you found respite in having multiple immoral partners, sex partners, and people call you prostitute. You are not a prostitute because you're bad. There is something you seek for. You couldn't hold yourself. Your life, your destiny seeks expression. That is why I'm a pastor of bad boys. I have never, I don't like religious folks. I don't like people who come around me, Pastor, amen. They have hurt me more than anybody. I want people who come around you, Pastor, I just came back from nightclub. What is happening? Pastor, I don't know direction to the home now. Praise the Lord. At least when I know where your problem is coming from. Because such people are the people God's hands are upon. God's hand is upon. Because there is something about their lives. I'm not saying anybody must be bad. No. But I'm saying Hannah was to give God a prophet. Penina was to give Elkanah children. God took that one that is to was to give him a prophet and close her womb. And the one that is she not the one that is supposed to be favored? But why must she go through delay? Because God wanted her to come to a point and open Penina's womb. Penina started giving back a rabbit. Every year, Elkanah will touch her. Bam! Elkanah will touch her. Bam! At a time, she had seven. And whenever they go to Shiloh, she'll be saying, I see Namba here. And Hannah will be crying. Elkanah loved Hannah more than Penina. Hey! And Penina will call his son. Hey, Emeka, come on! Your mother is calling you. Don't play outside. Where is Chinedu, your brother? Okay, Esther went out. Okay, all of my children, they are my bride. And Hannah would be in her tent crying. And God saw that I need to pass Hannah through some things, so that she will appreciate that she has a greater destiny. So God waited for her, The first year, Hannah came to Shiloh and prayed for a child. Nothing happened. Second year, third year, she kept praying. Nothing. Hey! And every year, Penina didn't even need prayer. Have you seen why your life is going through? Have you seen why you had to take jam four times when people you are more intelligent than took it once? Have you seen why your life had to take a detour? Have you seen why those guys have been breaking your heart? Because you're a woman of God. They are not the ones to come. That's why God didn't want them to stay. Have you seen why you are humble sitting down now listening to me? Because you, 5 years ago, you couldn't sit in one place. And Hannah will come every year and pray. The womb was still locked. Penina, that year, the thing was so bad. Ekana started giving her double portion. Ekana started pleading with her. Now you say, I'm your husband. Am I not enough? Am I not more than children? Imagine a woman who doesn't have a child and you're telling her, your man. Now she born you. That year, look at what happened. Do you know why God was delaying that? God wanted Hannah to give him back his gift. So until Hannah realizes that the first child will not be your own, that the first is not your own, the first is for God, that womb will be closed. The problem is not God giving babies. The problem is not God giving you money. The problem, who do you think that owns the money when it comes? The way you're even handling the 100,000 in your account. Now you have 100,000 in your account, we will not hear. When you come to church, you cross legged looking at everyone. This people don't know that I don't make them. See. See, I don't. If 1 million enters your account, when you come, you say, get up here, this is my seat. I'm about to close. That year, Hannah was interceding. Hannah was crying. You know what it means for somebody to groan? She wasn't opening her mouth. The thing don't reach him. And God was watching her. Is she coming to that point? Is she about to realize that there is a mark on her forehead? Is he about to realize there's a calling? I have not called him into business to build houses in the village. I have called him into business to build my kingdom. I have not called him into this life to live for himself. I have called him, oh God, to do ministry. And she was in bitterness of soul, verse 10, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Listen to what happened. And suddenly something exploded, a revelation exploded, and she vowed a vow. That was what God has waited for years, to realize that what I'm about to put in your womb first is not your own. I need a prophet, you need a child. So you give me the prophet, I'll give you children. Your womb, we must give me a prophet. Your womb, I have chosen you. You see that business, those ideas you have, is for the kingdom first. The moment, and she vowed a vow and said, that vow was not vowed from a fleshly realm. That thing was not vowed from a lower dimension of reality. It was vowed from a higher spiritual reality dimensions, because it was normal. It was normal. And she cried out. I said, if thou will indeed look on my affliction of thy hermit, and remember me, and not forget me, but will thou give thine handmaid a man child? God waited. Angels were waiting. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. So I'm giving you a prophet. That's all. I just use my womb as a channel. That's what God is waiting for. Oh God, give me money. Give me money. Give me money. The reason why you're not painting everything on your face now is because you don't have money. Some of you, as soon as God gives you 1 million, go and buy a makeup box of 750,000. And you know, when you stay in front of the mirror 1 hour every day, 1 hour every day for 24 years, you have spent 1 year in front of the mirror for 24 years. Painting. Agnes, I have to do it well. 2 hours. That is why there is no money to go and buy more. At the moment that vow came out, look at what happened. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. The priest of God noticed her. Was it God that delayed her? No. God wanted her to come to a point where she will raise her hands. Ihe ni ne mwere no adegenaka. Ihe ni ne mwere no adegenaka. Ego degenaka, ndo degenaka. Ebe mwere zem Jesus. Onye kanga tuwe wazo. Some of you think that Yahoo is all we give you money. Some of you think that what God wants to give you is money for yourself. God wants channels. He wants to use you. You think that your first class is for yourself. That business is for God. If you, like Hannah, can make a vow to the Lord to give all to Jesus, the time will be shortened. I've done it. When God took everything away from me, it was only God I had. Will you come to that vow today? The moment you come to that place, every other thing will become secondary. You begin to see the abundance flowing in your life. Are you ready to leave everything at the feet of the Master? Rise on your feet.